This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
What is up? Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, as per usual, is produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. A big program, as always, on a Friday. I've been stuck in the data lab all morning trying to come up with the ideal schematic matchups and the like for the propage this weekend. Well, we are off to a pretty good start. Had a pretty good night last night. We'll recap Ravens, Dolphins. We'll pivot over to college football with our guy Ben Stevens, week 10 picks, propage, and I think one or two non-props. We also talk DFS with our guy Jake Tribby of FantasyPoints.com. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll come on back. Actually, he'll join us in over 30 minutes. But I will close out the show, per usual, with propage. Feel pretty good, damn good, about what I have to push forward here today. 11 props, including a best bet. We are in November. Today is, by the way, happy Halloween. No costume for yours truly. Too busy studying schematic matchups, but I did wear a shirt that's kind of Halloween-y. So we got that going for us. But anyways, feeling really good about the picks, and we are going to be in November on Sunday. So easing into it. I got three, which is like a lot for yours truly. Wanted to take a few more, but man, these lines are so, first of all, low. I mean, they're good, but they're also low. So you have like featured receivers, like stud receivers with lines of like 59. It's like, wow. Okay, but I do have three unders that I'm into, and I have 11 total, like I said. Feel really, really good about it. Cherry picked it. Of course, the National Fake You Out League is going to get us in some way, shape, or form, but I do feel really, really good. Last night, once in a while, things actually play out the way they should in the National Fake You Out League, and I would qualify last night's game as such. We go 3-1. We actually came 3-4 yards shy of a 4-0 night, and ironically, it's Mark Andrews who doesn't come through, but like I always do, I take certain pride in ranking the prop, so the first three listed did win, basically. Derrick Henry over 90.5 yards. Hey, we'll take that 35-yarder, that 35-yard scamper at the end of the game. I didn't even see it, quite frankly. We'll take it, though. And Jalen Waddle got six grabs. Dude had, I believe, four grabs at the half, so we were looking good there. And Devon Achane, he didn't hit this by much. It was 39, I believe, right? We do, though, go over 32.5, and that was also an early win. So you love the early wins, and Mandrew's out there balling. You're like, good call, right? Didn't get it right. Didn't even hit 26 yards. Of course, he scores two touchdowns. And, of course, I would say, and you could argue that it was a bad call because it didn't win, but once again, this is when the calls lose, they're still good calls for the most part. Isaiah Likely, I was feeling – a little bit of a breakout performance. And I didn't want to go like crazy on it because the dude had like five targets on the season. So I'm like, you know what? They're going to score tight end touchdowns. I came on here yesterday. I said, all I know is that Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely are going to combine for like 5-6 grabs for 75 and at least one touch. And they did. But unfortunately, Charlie Kohler is my daddy. This is 2 weeks in a row. Charlie Kohler has vultured a touchdown. And look, they scored three touchdowns, did the Raven tight end. So you have the breakout game from Likely, second on the team in yards with 60, and the Ravens scored three tight end touchdowns. Once again, what are you going to do? One word, what are you going to do? But shout out to Charlie Kohler, though. I love me some Charlie Kohler. I have a picture of me and Charlie Kohler at the Combine. Great, great young man. And he does look like my daddy because he looks literally like a foot taller than me. And I'm 6'2", although I probably shrunk. I might be down to 6'1". So, yeah, off to a pretty solid start, but no arrogance here. We're going to stay focused as we have this morning when we prepare the props. Let's take a look around the league as your injury info is trickling out here on a Friday, and I just wanted to do a quick check to see if anything has popped out. Not really. We do have some critical headlines. The Dolphins did let their GM, Chris Greer, go. So Mike McDaniel is going to remain the head coach all season, according to our guy, Adam Schefter, who was on this very program right before the season started, and him and I, just a couple of old heads chopping it up about fake football, and we were on the same page with Travis Hunter. We're like, it's not going to work. I'm not seeing it. And he was getting ramped up and built up to maybe even take over as the go-to guy, the number one receiver over Brian Thomas Jr. It is a moot point now as the Jags have placed him on IR due to a knee injury. So there goes that prop from the VSiN betting guide that I had. I didn't like Travis Hunter, but I thought he would score, and I went over 4.5 tutty. So it's going to be a long shot. He's got one to get to 5 touchdowns. Jaden Daniels will start on Sunday. I'm not in on that Deebo Samuel prop officially here on my list, but I might still do it over at fantasypoints.com. I still have plenty of research to do. Although I am a little ahead of schedule here. Joe Flacco might be a little ahead of schedule. Looked like it was going to be a real concern on Wednesday, shoulder, but he said he's feeling good ahead of Week 9's game against the Bears. So I would imagine he'll go. Bryce Young has no injury designation for Sunday, meaning he is good to go. So that's good news because Andy Dalton was pretty darn bad last week. 49er head coach Kyle Shanahan said that Juwan Jennings' ankle, rib, shoulder, body is, quote, getting better ahead of Week 9's game against the Giants. And spoiler alert, I do have 3 touchdown props that I did not promote, but I do. And Juwan Jennings may be one of them. So I do like Juwan Jennings in this matchup. The Giants give up, well, they're kind of underachieving on many levels defensively here. Is Abdul Carter still play for them, by the way? Anyway, they're giving up a lot of big plays in the passing attack, and they also play a lot of man, which he does well against. Puka Nacua said he is ready to rock for Week 9 against the New Orleans Saints. I don't know if they're going to have to throw it all that much in that one with Tyler Shuck, but I do have a prop in that game, a receiving prop that I feel wonderful about, so stay tuned for that. Seahawks wide receiver Cooper Kupp limited on Thursday. Not that anyone is really that into Cooper Kupp. Sammy Darnold practice in full. And let's take a look at the rest of what I see here in terms of injuries to keep an eye on, after we sign off for propage and the like. Well, Falcons, Patriots, obviously Ramondre Stevenson has been out of practice. I'm not sure about today. I don't think it looks particularly good for him, but we do have Michael Penix practicing on a limited basis in that game. Chargers, Titans, big one here, Jeffrey Simmons still out of practice, so that would be very good for Kamani Vidal. I don't know if the LA Chargers is going to have to do all that much in this game, but Kamani Vidal could be quite busy. Vikings, Lions, this is going to be a struggle bus for J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings. We'll see about Brian O'Neill at right tackle, but he's still iffy. And Darisaw has been out of practice. So this does not look good for the Vikes and J.J. against, again, a defense that in their last game, they made likely the current, at the time, MVP favorite, Baker Mayfield, look like a bum, quite frankly. So credit to the Lion defense and a tall order for J.J. McCarthy and those Vikings. Lions a little healthier, too, on the back end. Tarion Arnold, although Kirby Joseph still out, but might get Avante Maddox back, their slot corner. And Taylor Decker going to play. Bears, Bengals. I do see Roma Dunze has been limited this week. spoiler alert, I'm in on a Doomsday prop, and it's an under. It's an under. Not to spill the beans, but it's an under. Cole Kmet has been limited this week, which is a little bit of a buzzkill, because I thought if Cole Kmet was out, then Colston Loveland would be a breakout player. We mentioned Flacco. Obviously, let's keep an eye on Trey Hendrickson. That would be huge for Caleb Williams. They also have some guys at linebacker, like Logan Wilson, a little bit banged up. Colts Steelers. Josh Downs back at practice. He should go. I see DK's out of practice, but I don't think we're in worrying about that, but we'll check on it. Also, Darius Slay. Niners, Giants, no Bryce Huff at practice. I don't think he's going to play, so that would be good news for the Giants and Jackson Dart. They do not have a pass rush, but no Ricky. I don't think we're going to get Ricky. Probably going to be another McCorkle Jones game. Panthers, Packers, we mentioned Bryce Young, nothing of note for the Packers. Broncos, Texans, Marvin Mims, probably going to miss the game, no Pat Surtain. Over for the Texans, we're getting Nico, we're getting Collins back. Dalton Schultz, probably not a good play this week. Saints, Rams, let's see, don't see anything of note there. We do have some guys limited in the game, like Puka. Obviously, he's going to return. Jags, Raiders, we're getting, obviously, Brock Bowers back. No Travis Hunter. Looks like Max Crosby's going to go. Chiefs, Bills, obviously, Pacheco is not going to go. Seahawks, Commanders, we are good with Jaden Daniels. Obviously, no Terry McLaurin. When we return, we'll pivot over to college football. We'll talk week 10 with Ben Stevens here on Prop Points on Visa.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Equinox is here when all four major leagues are in action at the same time. Celebrate the best time of the year for bettors with the VSiN Sports Equinox Special. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That's less than $20 a month. Before that, you'll get daily best bets from hosts and guests, DraftKings, Circa, and Bracco betting splits updated every 5 minutes, AI-driven prop projections and matchup tools, 24/7 live on-demand video with the VSiN Watch app, plus exclusive coverage for the World Series, football season, NBA, NHL, March Madness, NFL draft, you name it. Don't wait. This limited time offer won't last. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And welcome back to this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. We go directly to the Progressive guest line, and Ben Stevens is the co-host of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens. How are you, Ben? I know you were in on this Bryce Underwood last week, so I'm assuming you emerged victorious there. How you doing?
I was not on Bryce Underwood last week, but we will be on Bryce Underwood for this upcoming week to make sure. But yeah, he had a pretty decent game, at least running the football. But John, part of that is the road and home splits for the young Michigan quarterback. I'm doing well. Happy Halloween to you. The X machine has not been kind to me this morning. I was hacked by a crypto scammer. But outside of that, John, we got college football to look forward to in the first full Saturday in November.
As soon as I was giving out your address, that's the thought. But hopefully you can regain that address. And let's get into it. I guess you had somebody else in the Michigan State game. But anywho, Bryce Underwood is your first selection. You're going over 185. Dude only threw for 86 the week before, but they won, and maybe they didn't need him, right? So 230, 207, before that, 270. What do you see here with Underwood?
John, on the over last week in the battle for Paul Bunyan between Michigan State and Michigan, and late in the game, it came through in the back door, which is how we enjoy to get to the over sometimes on a late Saturday night. All right, anyway, let's focus on this game. Back at home in the big house for Bryce Underwood. He's a very talented five-star freshman, the highest quarterback recruit rated-wise for Michigan in school history. But, John, it's not unsurprising then for a young quarterback in his first full year as a starter to be much more comfortable in the home environments than on the road. Last week, you mentioned fewer than 100 yards on the road in East Lansing against those Spartans. At home this year for Bryce Underwood, in the four games for the Maize and Blue, he is averaging more than 246 yards per game. The completion percentage is near 70 at 69.4. On the road, however, that drops by nearly 15 points to just above 50% completion in the average yards per game, just a buck 30. Against a bad Purdue defense, John, that will allow you some yardage. I think the key for Michigan tomorrow in a game they're a 3-touchdown favorite is continue that growth and development for their young quarterback. We'll take advantage of a discounted number on Bryce Underwood, 185 plus, to make sure he gets through that tomorrow.
Next up, it's Carson Beck. And before we get into the prop, let me just ask you a very general question. Carson Beck, and we're still going this year, has Carson Beck helped his draft stock this year at all? I mean, it looked like he got off to a good start, but I saw a couple of weeks ago he threw four picks.
Yeah, four picks and a tough loss to Louisville, the lone loss this year for Miami. And, John, that's been the issue for Carson Beck, turnover-worthy throws, turnover-prone play. He was tied for the tops of the SEC last year in a category you do not want to lead a league, and that was for the most interceptions. He has had multiple games this year with multiple INTs as well. So it's been a struggle for Carson Beck. The reason, though, that we are going to Carson Beck in this spot is SMU is the second worst passing defense in all of college football. We have seen guys against the Stangs this year put up monumental numbers, and not just Josh Hoover and Sawyer Robertson early in the year, two of the top three passing leaders in FBS college football, but guys like Stanford's Ben Golbranson, who threw for 278 against SMU's defense. John, the next two games he combined for a total of 140 passing yards. We've seen Syracuse's Ricky Collins throw for nearly 280 against SMU, his season and career high by more than 50 yards. Carson Beck's number at 246 plus, I think, is very considerable then in that range. For Miami to have a good day on the road in Dallas, their first true road test outside of the Sunshine State this year, I think they'll rely on the veteran quarterback, who, if he plays clean football, should get through this number.
Next up, you've got King Miller out of USC. And it seems like it's been a little while since USC has produced like a great back, unless some name is escaping me. But anywho, I am a big fan of, and there are other terms for this, but let's go with the badass name theory. You know, like Debo Samuel, you know, like they call him Debo his whole life. So he kind of, okay, I guess I'm a tough guy. King Miller, what do you have here? 84 plus rush yards. You like the over?
The walk-on running back, John, for USC, filling in for the injured Wayman Jordan. And off the bye, I think USC finds something on the ground against the Nebraska defense that has struggled to contain the run all season long, allowing nearly 157 yards per game. Caleb Komolafe in Northwestern last week ran for a buck 76 against this Huskers defense that, again, has really struggled to contain the opposition's rushing attack. So King Miller, who had a buck 58 against Michigan in his first true and full action this year just a few weeks ago, I think will be a focal point for Lincoln Riley's offense in a huge game tomorrow night in Lincoln. By the way, temperature is supposed to be around freezing, 30 to 32 degrees in the evening hours out there in Nebraska. So USC is going to have to play some big boy Big Ten football, and I think rely on establishing the run.
Ben Stevens on the line with us, co-host of Live Bet Saturday with Dustin Sweetelson here on VSiN. So check out the show when the kickoff occurs. But next up, you've got Carnell Tate of Ohio State with an anytime touchdown, and looking at the data here and the digits, looks like a little boom or bust, but when he booms, it's like a big boom, right?
It is often a big boom. He has scored in 5 of 7 games for Ohio State this year. Of course, the best touchdown price for the Buckeyes is Jeremiah Smith, around a minus 185. He is Ohio State's leading wide receiver, one of the best in the country, and also the leading Buckeye in terms of getting into the end zone. But we can take a discounted number on Carnell Tate. John, this game on the first Saturday of November was supposed to be a top 5, top 3, maybe top 2 tilt between Ohio State and Penn State because of the disastrous season for the Nittany Lions. It is anything but. And defensively, despite NFL-caliber talent basically at every level, Penn State has been really disappointing, with Ohio State's former defensive coordinator in his first year in state college in Jim Knowles. Penn State has allowed at least 22 points in all four Big Ten games defensively, giving up an average of nearly 30 per game. I think Ohio State has some success with the efficient offensive attack led by quarterback Julian Sayin through the air. So I'll take the discounted number on Carnell Tate at minus 125. So I think Ohio State's going to score four or five touchdowns against the beleaguered Penn State defense tomorrow at the Shoe.
And then last but not least, you like K-State here, Kansas State, +7.5 up against number 13, Texas Tech. What do you see here?
Yeah, Kansas State at home getting more than a touchdown. This line working, it is now just 7 in favor of the Red Raiders. We thought this game could have drastic Big 12 title implications before the season got underway, John. K-State had been disappointing. They had dropped 3 of their first 4. They barely scratched across a win against FCS foe North Dakota. But in the last month plus, this Wildcats team is starting to trend in a positive direction. They have won 3 of 4. They have covered in all 4 of those games. The lone loss for K-State by just a point in a wild final 6 minutes of a fourth quarter against Baylor. Avery Johnson, the reason many had high hopes for Kansas State this year, their quarterback, is living up to those preseason expectations really since the end of September. I like the number for Kansas State to keep this game within one possession against a really good Texas Tech team that is still the formidable front runner in the Big 12. I just think K-State keeps this game close and can be kind of a thorn in the side of Big 12 competition the remainder of this regular season.
Next week, we will really promote your social media account, but we'll just end the interview here saying to check out Ben Stevens co-hosting Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. Great stuff, Ben. Good luck with the social media accounts, and we'll talk to you next week, sir. And when we return, we'll pivot on over to a little DFS talk with our guy Jake Tribby of FantasyPoints.com. But first, VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the same trusted brand behind Elite Soccer Analytics. In the UK, you'll get data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs compared directly to DraftKings lines to help you find value. To tip off the NBA season, VSiN is offering a limited-time free preview of our new NBA player prop projections. Check both versions out today at VSiN.com/NFL props and VSiN.com/NBA props. We'll talk DFS for week 9 next with Jake Tribby of FantasyPoints.com here on a Friday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. Just a couple of quick updates. Bengal head coach Zach Taylor has listed Trey Hendrickson as doubtful against the Bears. That's certainly good news for Caleb Williams. And Patriot running back Ramondre Stevenson has been ruled out. So perhaps Trevion Henderson, but knowing the Patriots just being, you know, kind of tricking us on the regular, well, probably Terrell Jennings getting 30 carries, but I digress. I'm exaggerating a little bit there. We go to the progressive guest line now to bring in Jake Tribby of FantasyPoints.com, NFL DFS, the number one UFL analyst on the planet on the X Machine at Jake Tribby. How are you, Jake?
Doing really well, John. Hope to have a great Halloween weekend with some fun DFS action this week.
Let's get right to it. Your quarterback selection, a little pricey, always a little dangerous to pay up for a QB, but not if the dude drops 30 fantasy points. And you like Josh Allen here, 7,300 up against KC. I think they might try and take out James Cook for one. So what do you see here with Josh Allen?
Yeah, I really haven't been paying up for quarterback a ton this season, but I think this is a great week to do it. I mean, we always want to play Josh Allen in the games where he needs to turn in to Superman, and this is absolutely one of those games. Josh Allen averages 30 DraftKings fantasy points per game in his 7 games against Kansas City since 2021, largely because of an increase in his rushing output. He's averaged 11 carries per game in those 7 games against the Chiefs, but just 7 carries per game in all his other contests. And, you know, Josh Allen turning into Superman against the Chiefs isn't necessarily unique to Kansas City. Allen actually averages an absurd 31.1 DraftKings fantasy points per game since 2021 in games with a spread that's within 3 points and a total of 49 or higher. So high total games that are expected to be close are the ideal spots to play Josh Allen. And what do we have this week? The Bills are 1.5 point underdogs in a game with a slate high 52.5 total. Like both sides of this game, certainly don't mind Mahomes either at 7,100, but I think Josh Allen is my preferred way to play, which should be a really exciting contest.
And I think it, I know they're going to be down Pacheco, but everything looks kind of good for KC up against a pretty stingy defense in general in terms of pass defense, but their run defense has been terrible. So yeah, I'm with you on that. I think this will be a shootout city where he's got to drop back a lot. You know, I lost a prop last week. I was very high on Khalil Shakir and Kincaid based on the schematics. I mean, Kincaid, we didn't win that. He had one catch for 24. Great, great play, but Josh Allen only threw it 19 times. Well, let's move on to Jalen Warren. I love this game in particular. I love how the Steelers are probably going to put up a fight and force Daniel Jones to keep the pedal to the metal for at least three and a half quarters. I think we'll be good on that one. I like Aaron Rodgers to keep pace. DK Metcalf, you have Jalen Warren on your list. He has kind of re-separated himself from the pack there. No Caleb Johnson lately, and Kenny Gainwell is kind of a jag. So what do you see here with Jalen Warren?
Yeah, so over Warren's last 4 fully healthy games, he's averaged a 66% snap share, 72% of backfield rushing attempts, a 14% target share, almost 16 expected fantasy points per game, and 16.5 DraftKings fantasy points per game. Those latter two numbers would rank 5th and 8th best among slate eligible running backs. So it does seem a little absurd to me that Jalen Warren is priced all the way down at RB16 by his DraftKings price of just 5,500. And what is the slate's 3rd best game environment? You know, the total here is 50.5. And I think this is a crazy statistic. You know, John, if I asked you who's the most efficient running back in the NFL right now, I'd imagine most people would probably guess Jonathan Taylor, maybe Bijan Robinson.
Yes.
Obviously those guys are up there, but by both yards after contact per attempt and missed tackles forced per attempt, Jalen Warren is currently the most efficient running back in the entire NFL. So underpriced relative to his usage, and he's just been playing outstanding this season.
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, I was pretty damn high on Jalen Warren this summer. I was actually worried after that triumvirate emerged with a 3-headed monster, but that seemingly was just an outlier game. That was a one-time deal. Let's move on here with Jake Tribby of FantasyPoints.com on the X Machine at Jake Tribby. Same game. I love this game. I really do. Not everyone is going to go off, but I'll tell you who commands the ball for the Indy Colts. Great receiving core, all that. Alec Pierce. Always been an Alec Pierce guy. Maybe he has a little limitations, but you know the downfield stuff is just, I mean, he's awesome. What else can we say? What do you see here with Alec Pierce up against the Steelers at 4,600?
Yeah, Alec Pierce is absolutely one of the best deep threats in the NFL. Only 4,600 this week. He's hit 65 receiving yards in 4 of his last 6 games. Over the last 2 weeks, he's led all players in air yards with over 100 more than the next closest player. He also ranks 14th among wide receivers in targets. Keep in mind, his 15 targets, that's only 3 fewer than Michael Pittman. That's 5 more than Tyler Warren and 12 more than any other Indianapolis wide receiver or tight end. And I think crucially this week, this is schematically a fantastic matchup. Steelers deploy single high, looks at top 3 rates this season. They also run a pretty significant amount of both cover 1 and cover 3. And they haven't dipped below a 55% single high rate even once this year. So this is an amazing spot for Alec Pierce in particular. He has a 30% target share against single high looks this year. That ranks seventh best. He has 4.3 yards per out run against single high. That's over a 300% boost compared to two high. And he ranks behind only Puka Nacua in single high yards per out run among 134 qualifying wide receivers. Also leads the league in air yards per game against single high. And the Colts have only faced single high at the fourth lowest rate this year. So they're not getting a ton of single high, but when they are, the ball is almost always going to Alec Pierce, and he's almost always crushing when he gets those targets. He leads the team, in target share and yards per out run against the blitz. The Steelers have brought the NFL's third highest rate of blitzes this season. And this is a great on paper matchup. The Steelers are actually a bottom two schedule adjusted matchup for both quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight end. So there are a lot of fun ways we can stack up the Colts, can bring it back on the other side with Jaylen Warren, as I mentioned previously. But Alec Pierce is easily my favorite Colts wide receiver to pair with Daniel Jones this week.
Yeah, no question. Even with Josh Downs back in practice, by the way. And then last but not least, I was perusing all the props, and I couldn't believe that Geno Smith was kind of up there, like 240, 235, even though he stinks. And then I looked into it. I'm like, oh, pretty good schematic matchup for Geno. Pretty good schematic matchup for Brock Bowers as well. What do you see with Bowers this week? He is coming off a long layoff, but he should be well-rested. I think they were a little conservative, keeping him out beyond the bye. So I'm assuming he's good to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's priced down at just 5,000. So as a rookie, Bowers averaged 16.9 fantasy points per game. That would rank his tight end one or wide receiver 11 over his final 13 games. In just three full quarters in week one, Bowers gained 103 yards on just 23 routes. Good for 4.5 yards per out run. Now he's 1,500 cheaper than he was in week one. We were paying $6,500 for Brock Bowers just 7 weeks ago. There's some concern he might be limited or less than 100%, but every injury expert that I've seen largely seems very bullish on his return here, and he has had an extended time period off. It's also a top eight schedule-adjusted matchup, but you know, really, Brock Bowers at even 80% health in a mediocre matchup would be too cheap at 5K. We know what he's capable of, and he is a fantastic player.
No doubt about it. Jake Tribby of fantasypoints.com. Once again, follow him on the X machine at Jake Tribby. Great stuff, sir. Good luck with all the plays, and we'll talk to you next week. Our guy,
yeah, really
Jake Tribby
you guys
there. And you got it, Jake. We actually have maybe a minute here. I'm going to pop out three touchdown props here, get it out of the way, and then next segment we'll close out the show. I've got 11 prop picks, three unders. So stay tuned for that. But very quickly, I do love this game in terms of the Colts and the Steelers. I'm going to go with a DK Metcalf. Maybe check on his Friday practice status, but I'm sure he's going to be in the game. But scoring a touchdown, it's kind of all he does at plus 140. I think that'll be a high scoring game. And very good matchup. The Colts are pretty soft on the outside. Colston Loveland, a little risky here, but dream matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals. There's a lot of things lining up for the Bear tight ends to dominate. Now, it could be Cole Kmet, but I think this is a great opportunity for them to get the rookie going here at plus 300. Best matchup on the planet. And then Drake May, no Ramondre Stevenson. And Drake May obviously has wheels. Our guy Michael Cohen was in my ear about the rushing prop, and I get it, but let's try and go bigger at plus 400 with no Ramondre, Drake May, and anytime touchdown. We'll pop out my 11 prop picks for week number 9 on the other side, the final segment of this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If final segment on a Friday. Thank you for tuning in. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. We thank our guests as well, Ben Stevens, Jake Tribby. Before I forget, we thank our guy, Michael Cohen, for producing the program all week. Back on Monday, hopefully with in a good mood and celebrating a lot of wins. We are in a somewhat celebratory mood after a 3-1 start to week 9 last night. So without any further ado, let's pop it out here. I do have a best bet. We got greedy last week. There's no other way to say it. I thought that I was sneak one in there with Tyler Allgeier. That didn't go well. Now, of course, I did not know that they wouldn't have Drake London or Michael Penix, but even still, it was still shocking. Just like I said yesterday, you're like, you know what? Let's keep it a little simple here. And sometimes simple is correct. You know, sometimes the answer is the obvious answer. Okay. Without any further ado, number one, I'm going to go David Montgomery. Over 48.5 rushing yards. Vikings have been a top five run funnel. The Lions have been one of the top five most run-heavy offenses. The Vikings are allowing the fourth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing runners. It does look like Jahmyr Gibbs has taken over the backfield a little bit, but when the team is leading by multiple scores this year, Montgomery is getting over 50% of the carries. And I do believe that will be the case. The Lions are 8.5 favorites. It's also, and this was really the most important point, a great schematic matchup for Montgomery. 66.7% of his rushing attempts have come on zone concepts. That's the eighth most, and the Vikings have been much, much more generous against those zone concepts, allowing 3.4 yards per carry compared to man and gap concepts, allowing 3.4. I think they'll get smoked with their young quarterback up against a defense that, again, last week made Baker Mayfield look like a bum. And Baker Mayfield is awesome and was likely your leading MVP candidate going into that game. So I like this a lot, getting some volume late in the game. Kareem Hunt, I mean, seems a little too good to be true, quite frankly. Just in case, I throw in the rushing and receiving. Let's go over 59.5 rushing and receiving for Kareem Hunt. No Isaiah Pacheco. Bashard Smith, by the way, is on the injury report. Just a rookie. He's not shown much on the ground. The Bills have been the NFL's most extreme run funnel this season. Why? They stink stopping the run. They have also allowed the fewest receiving yards per game on throws traveling 20-plus yards downfield. So this should be a game where they hand the ball off a decent amount, especially if they're nursing a lead. Buffalo gives up the fifth most adjusted yards before contact, the fifth most rushing yards per game at 114. Third fewest receiving yards, sure, but by the way, in this matchup, Kareem Hunt had 17 carries, 64 yards, and a touchdown, along with a six-yard reception in the AFC Championship game. May not even need the receiving yards, but probably catch a ball or two. And, man, if he can get to 10 yards on, like, let's say two catches, then all we have to do is run for 50 yards. I mean, again, I'm a little scared. Seems a little too good to be true. Next up, this one isn't. This is just a damn good play. Chris Olave. Over 57.5 receiving yards. The Rams run cover three at a top five rate. Olave has been dominant against cover three, commanding a 33% target share. It's the fifth most among all wide receivers. He gets 15% boost to his targets per route run against it. No other Saint receiver averages even 1.75 yards per route run against cover three, yet Olave is at 2.49, so he crushes it. Over a larger sample, even going back to last year, with multiple quarterbacks, I mean, we're talking three, right? Olave has been, maybe even four, 42% more efficient by yards per route run against cover three, ranking top 12. I guess it is three. It's Rattler, Shuck, and Carr. And for what it's worth, Tyler Shuck did target Olave on a strong 30% of his routes against cover three in week eight. I watched Tyler Shuck practice for a week at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. I thought he was pretty good. I thought he threw the ball pretty well, actually. And by the way, you want to play Saint props because each of these offenses, by the way, the Rams too, average their top 10 by fastest running off of plays, basically. They run off a lot of plays. More plays equal more points. Next up, Brock Bowers. Not that worried about the injury situation. He's good to go. Might be a little rusty, but this number is also down, 49.5. The Jags, they have been the league's most extreme pass funnel by pass rate over expectation allowed. They run cover three and cover six around 55% of the time. Believe it or not, Geno Smith actually averages 8.92 YPA with a 9.3 completion percentage over expectation and a 95.5 passer rating on 60 attempts against those coverages. We did it. It took us all year. We found coverages that Geno's good against. The Jags allow the seventh most passing yards per game, which, by the way, 254, which, by the way, is, if you look at Geno's prop, it's like 230, 240. It's a little higher than usual. I think that bodes well because Brock Bowers averages 4.03 yards per route run and 0.31 targets per route run. If he were averaging half of that, the 4.03, that'd be good. So that shows you how good it is. Jacksonville gives up the 10th most receiving yards, 62.6, and the 12th most receptions per game to tight ends. And Bowers got him for 11 grabs for 99 in this matchup last year. Next up, C.J. Stroud. Maybe I'm trying to steal this one, but I mean, Denver, they haven't given up a lot of rushing production to quarterbacks, so this could be close. But it's a nasty matchup. They blitz at the NFL's fourth highest rate. Stroud does not handle the blitz well. He has, though, run for 16-plus yards in three straight and in six of seven games. And last week, Dak Prescott got six carries for 31 on the ground. He doesn't normally run. And, yeah, I don't love him to run, but he's going to take off a couple of times here. And 16 yards is extremely doable for Stroud. Next up, Alec Pierce. I don't maybe need to reiterate everything, but it's just amazing schematic matchup. So all we need to do is get to 41 yards. This dude commands the ball, period. Like, he is a great downfield threat. He crushes cover one, cover three, commanded a 30% target share against single high, which they run at a top three rate to the Steelers. 4.30 yards per route run against single high. That is a 373% boost to Pierce compared to single high. He ranks second best, only behind Puka, which is crazy. He has been targeted on one-third of his routes against these shells. He leads the league in air yards against single high. Daniel Jones leads all quarterbacks in YPA against single high. His deep throw rate, does Pierce, grows from 8.2 against two high to 12.8 against single high, ninth best. Come on now. And then Booty, Kayshon Booty, is very, very similar. 32.5, same thing with the single high. Falcons actually blitz out of cover three quite a bit, and Drake May, we looked at the data, crushes it. Booty leads the Patriots in terms of targets against cover three. Leads them in receiving yards and target share, gets a 43% boost to his targets per route run against cover three, and he also sees the highest ADOT and nearly double the air yard share against cover three. TJ Hockenson, let's go with the unders, under 29.9. It's brutal. He did well with Wentz, relatively not well with McCarthy. The Lions run man coverage. Hawkinson's terrible against man, 0.51 yards per route run. He'll be needed to block more. Let's take another under. Bijan Robinson, under 64.5. Rough schematic matchup. 75% of his runs have come on zone concept, second most. Patriots are allowing the second fewest yards per carry on opposing zone concepts. They have not allowed an individual running back to hit 50 yards through 8 weeks. Roma Dunze will go under here, under 64.5. Not a horrible schematic matchup, but he's not great against cover three and cover six. You want him against man. And I have other data points, but you want him against man. That brings up the best bet of the week. Before we sign off, make sure you stay tuned. Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern following the program. But we are going to go Josh Allen over 41.5 rushing yards. The game has a 52.5 total. Josh Allen averages 32 fantasy points per game in games with over 50 points. He only threw three touchdowns in those 14 games where he's hit 50 points. He averages 50 rushing yards per game, and the Chiefs allowed the third most scheduled adjusted fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks on the ground the last 5 weeks. I think they're going to try and take out James Cook. So Superman, as Jake Tribby said, is going to have to bust out the Superman cape. Josh Allen over 42, over 41 and a half. That is your best bet for week 9. Good luck with all the plays. We'll catch you on Monday with another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.